For Notre Dame football fans, there's no sweeter sound than the words,
"Touchdown Notre Dame!"
or "Irish win."
He's in for a touchdown! The Irish have come from behind!
As a fan of the Fighting Irish, you know that Saturdays in the fall are not just game days. They are unforgettable experiences. Welcome to a fan's perspective on Fighting Irish football. This is Dome and Domer. Here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me, Ed Jordanic. And for the next 15, 20 minutes, we're going to talk about how, in God's name, an 0-2 starting Notre Dame football team could see a number 15 ranked opponent come into their stadium, and yet they're a 5-point favorite. I don't think I would have ever seen that. There's only two explanations for that. Number one, either you and I aren't crazy, and a lot of people think that Notre Dame is a very good football team. They just haven't played that well. Or Michigan State is the most overrated college football team in the last 25 years.
Step with us, and we're gonna take care of business.
Yeah, that's an amazing thing. I can't remember the last time I've ever seen anything like that. So I think it's a very telltale sign, though, because I do think that even the guys in Vegas, who usually are pretty smart guys, I mean, these are guys that for a living do nothing but try and pinpoint exactly the outcome.
I wish they would have been right on us the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, no kidding. But I do think that in this scenario, you got a team that has proven to itself that they can put points on the board, they can put yardage on the board from an offensive standpoint. They can hold teams for three quarters, a very good football offensive team, to 150 yards to start the fourth quarter. But they're prone to just monumental mistakes. And in any event, I'm still not getting the 10 turnovers, though. I thought it was four. Are they counting the last?
We actually ducked out of the big house before the kickoff after the last touchdown, but my understanding was that the kickoff at the end of the game counted as a turnover. Somebody told me that the guy from Michigan almost ran into the end zone.
Almost. He couldn't hang on to it, that's another one. But, you know, I think now that the situation being what it is, you got a team that, I don't know if you caught any of the press conference, but they kind of made it out to be that, you know, this football team's got a little chip on their shoulder right now. And these guys are not happy with the situation. They're not happy with where they're at. And they realize that the only way you're going to do anything about that situation is to start winning. And so these guys have been talking all week about what it takes to start winning and what needs to be done. And, you know, so all things considered, it sounds pretty good. I mean, let's hope that they carry this onto the football field on Saturday. And in key situations, are we going to execute? In third and one, are we going to get the first down? In, red zone, are we going to turn on the ball and make a play defensively? These are the things that I think now we're pinpointing to see what exactly is going to happen with this football team and how are they going to respond.
Yeah, and that's what's been so crazy is, like, you know, the things that you just listed are the things that have cost them games, you know, the first two games. The problem with Notre Dame is that, and you hear this phrase a lot, but they just continue to find new ways to lose. So what I'm worried about is that old saying about, I don't know what I don't know. What is going to happen that's something that we haven't even seen yet, or some little twist or some part of the game that they have a breakdown in, or that something unforeseen that happens, that, you know, Tommy gets hurt and Dane comes in and struggles, or, you know, Manti goes out and suddenly there's a hole in the middle of the defense and Michigan State starts to run up some yardage, or we have a block kick, or, you know, something that okay, maybe we correct the things that have been plaguing us so far, but there's a whole bunch of different things that can go wrong in a football game. But I think I heard some talk this week from people about, well, maybe Brian Kelly isn't the guy, and I mean, Notre Dame fans just have to understand that if it can't get done with this guy it's not going to get done. I mean, this is a football coach that's had success, that understands how to get the most out of young guys. I mean, let's not forget. I mean, he did not have anywhere near this kind of talent at Cincinnati. And so that would argue for, okay, well, then what's the problem? How come he's not getting it done? Well, he also didn't play the kind of competition. And he also didn't, I'm sure, there's things that he's learning. He didn't have the kind of pressure. And there's a whole bunch of different things that go along on this. And I'm continued to be willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, mostly because I think you don't want to give him kind of savior status, but he's really our last, I think, best hope to get this thing headed in the right direction. And I think that it is, and I think that he will. And but man, this is really tough stuff. And I've always thought that the main way that the game has changed, college football, a lot of other games, is that you hear coaches, successful coaches, talk about turning ownership of it over to the players. And college football is really no different. Obviously, it's different levels of that in different leagues and different sports. But it's all about winning for the guy next to you. It's all about leadership on the field from the players. In other words, getting them to have the accountability and the responsibility. And that doesn't mean the coach isn't still a guide and a control freak. Setting the plans and strategy and all those things are still very important. But in terms of the mental makeup of the team, it's kind of come down to the fact that it's the players that have to rise to the occasion. It's the players that have to carry the day, that have to pick each other up, and that otherwise it's very short-lived. A coach can get you fired up for maybe a half or a quarter or for a series, but to have a program that's in kind of fundamentally sound, with a fundamentally sound psyche, it really takes players believing in the system, believing in their coaches, and believing that they're going to get the job done, and also handling adversity very well. And these guys have had their share of adversity, and now they got to get they've proven to be pretty good at that. Again, I wouldn't be surprised if they played well Saturday. I'm not going to say that they'd win, but I think that they'll play well, and they'll show really some really good things. But they've got to get over that hump of not just competing, but winning. And I think those are two different things.
It's interesting. I'm not certainly going to hark on my own experiences as a coach. That doesn't it pales in comparison to Brian Kelly. But when I used to coach Little League All-Star teams, the way I would take those nine kids on the field is, look, you got to look at every single pitch as if the ball's coming to you and you got to make a play. If all nine of you have the mentality that you're going to make the play, then we're going to be a very good defensive baseball team. And I think that Notre Dame needs that mentality where somebody has got to step up and make
on every
a play.
Right.
You know, you're 30 seconds away from winning the football game in dramatic fashion. That means somebody's got to put an end to the football game. And if all 11 guys, and that includes the defensive line, you don't just take a half-assed approach. You go after the sack on that 30-second
play. That ends
the
game, right.
And
That
ends the game. And somebody looks to make a play to end the game. You got to have all 11 guys doing that. And I think clearly that obviously hasn't been the case with us. And so the question, you know, has to beg itself, all right, are we that kind of team that has that kind of mentality? And they got to get it going. That's got to be the next step for this football team, because they are, we said at the beginning of the season that they were going to be a team that was going to be in every single game. They've got the kind of talent to compete. They've got the coach that's going to put them in that position. Now, like you say, it's the players on the field that have got to step up and take ownership of this whole program as well, which means they got to make a play. And Saturday's outcome is going to be dictated by guys on our side of the ball that are going to make a play. If we don't have any playmakers, the game is going to fall apart.
Well, I think what's so interesting about what you're saying, Mike, because it really rings true with me, and it also starts to make sense to me, because to tell you the truth, I was kind of a little bit puzzled by along the line some of the comments that Brian Kelly would make about Michael Floyd. Just in terms of, I for whatever reason, I don't know why I got this thought in my head. You know, didn't think that he was necessarily probably the greatest practice guy or the hardest worker or the. But I'm starting to see exactly, and this is kind of what you're talking about, that playmaker's mentality. That's like, this is on me. If it's any, this down could be my last down as a football player, and I'm going to make it count. And I think that as much publicity and as good as his stats have been, is that I think we really sort of underestimate or under discuss Michael Floyd's approach to the game. I mean, he just appears to go all out just about on every play. Maybe he'll get a little tired and get a little slow, but it's because it's you know, his mistakes are mistakes of commission, not omission. In other words, if he makes a mistake, it's because of a leap or a hold or something where he's trying to get us into the end zone one way or the other. And you're right, I think we need a few more guys that kind of take that. I want to make this play somehow or another. And if anything's around, you know, whether I'm a defensive guy stopping it, whether I'm knocking a ball down, whether I'm an offensive guy springing the big block, whatever, and playing with that sense of urgency and that sense of almost desperation, not just when it's a desperate situation, but from the first series all the way through, and not taking any series off mentally. And it just felt like in the fourth quarter, there was the defense was out there to just try and hang on and hold serve, and that's just not a mentality that's going to win a game.
No, it's not. And what you need right there in that situation is you need all 11 guys, not just Gary Gray, but all 11 guys saying, "I got to make a play right here. I got to assume that the play's coming to me, and I got to make a play." You know, not to call guys out, but you could say, "Hey, Darius Fleming, if you had that attitude and you make the tackle, you did a great job of breaking through the screen, but when the running back is there and you make a half, whatever, attempt at bringing him down, if you make that play, they're 14 yards from the end zone right then and there and facing a much different situation." And, you know, Harrison Smith on that, you know, duck throw down the middle, as the ball's in the air, you know that the ball's coming. You got to make a play, and you mistimed it, and you didn't, and you need to think that one through as to why you didn't make the play. You bat that ball down right there, and this game doesn't even get to the situation that it gets to. So there's all these little tiny plays that occur throughout the game, and all it takes is for somebody to step up and make a play, and then that ends up being the difference in the ball game. You know, Ben Turk, you got to look at that every single time you step on the field. You got to make a play, which means you can't be kicking at 25 yards. That is not an option for you. And until this football team gets to that level, then they're going to be a great football team. They're a good football team right now. They'll be a great one if they can somehow.
I agree. I completely agree that kind of line of thinking makes a lot of sense to me, and I think probably a lot of us has been involved in sports, and somewhere along the line, even at a very kind of, you know, a very amateur, very even at a very young level, where if you're lucky enough to been on a team where you kind of sense that when that kind of happens, and it's a pretty cool thing, because it's almost this feeling of invincibility, because you know someone out of those five guys on the basketball court, or nine guys on the baseball team, or 11 guys, or 22 guys on the football team, somebody, because everybody's approaching every play that way, or every down, or every possession, or every inning, every half inning, is that somebody inevitably does step up and do something fairly dramatic that carries the day, that takes you over the finish line, that wins the game, or keeps you alive to fight another, you know, to fight in overtime, or to, you know, it's crazy, but things seem to work out that way. But you kind of just know it when it happens. You know, all of a sudden you kind of wake up and you're like, oh yeah, okay, now we've got that secret sauce, or that special kind of thing, where this is the separation, as you said, from a team that performs well between the 20s, or a team that racks up statistical yards, or a team that is 8-4 or 9-3, to the kind of team that is in the mix for championships, that puts teams away when they have them on the ropes, that does all those little things, and does not make, when they make mistakes, they're mistakes that come at times that don't really matter or that don't cost the game. They're not critical mistakes. They're the, and you know, teams that are good in the clutch. So I subscribe to that. I think that there is a thing in that, and that probably is what Brian Kelly has found his, to be his biggest challenge, is to create that on the sidelines, on the field, in the practice arena, just all the way through the program. Because, like I was telling somebody this week, there's a lot of negativity that's built up over the last 10 or 15 years. Notre Dame Stadium is not a tough place to play anymore. I don't think it'll be that raucous tomorrow unless we get going and get going. People are kind of basically worn out from 10 to 15 years of lackluster play, and they're kind of leaning back saying, show me something. Show me something. And we are not going to have another off-the-hook, you know, crazed environment, certainly at home, until it's a meaningful game. We're in the national championship mix still, a meaningful opponent. It's just, I wish I could say that it was, but it's.
No, you're right. I can, to this very day, I remember distinctly the last time the atmosphere was like that. And for me, it was 1993 against Florida State. Maybe the last drive against Boston College. But and after the 1993 Florida State game, things kind of went south from there. And there never has been the level of intensity and excitement in that stadium since then.
I would say 2005 against USC, I was there. It was pretty close. And you know,
I wasn't at that game.
And, you know, things were still fresh with Charlie. It was a new beginning. We were all believers in Charlie. We thought this was going to, you know, thought this was going to get done. The team was off to a pretty good start that year. It was, you know, it went deep into the evening. It was an absolutely, I mean, I can remember it like it was yesterday. It was just a perfect, perfect college football day.
The environment was just,
so that was pretty close.
The low point for me during that stretch was walking into the stadium and seeing, holy cow, the half of the stadium is red. What is Nebraska doing with all these fans here? That was unbelievable. That was something I never expected to see. And it just goes to show, and think about it, we were in that game. What would have happened had we had the fan presence that we needed? That came down to a fourth and 10.
That was, no, you're right. That was that was the beginning of kind of a breakdown of kind of like, okay, this is, because I think there was a little bit of a fear factor, a little bit of intimidation factor for some of those Holtz teams. You know, there were teams that would come in and they would just be, and part of it was because it was such a different brand of football. It was a design to just physically whip the other team.
Yeah, you just knew you were
going to get teams would hang within a touchdown or two. For two quarters, but they just didn't have a chance by the time the middle of the third quarter, early fourth quarter around. I mean, it was 8 yards, 18 yards, 19 yards, a lot of times all on the ground, and then a play action for a big play or a tight end kind of led sweep that just, you know, obliterated, just knocked down guys left and right. And that was just, you know, those were different, very different days. So those are over. There's got to be this new kind of legacy built. There's a lot of different things that go into that. Maybe someday we'll spend a show talking about just kind of the stadium and different changes that could be made, maybe to enhance it and what your opinion is on some of those kinds of things. But the fact of the matter is that a lot of that stuff just kind of falls into place if you win. And it's a chicken and the egg thing, but to me the clear chicken is just winning football games. That's how you kind of bring kind of people back and create belief again and create that kind of what though the odds and that, you know, I mean, we're on the losing end of the things that great that were a huge part in creating the Notre Dame football tradition. You know, we're the team that's supposed to win those kind of games like last Saturday.
Right. That's exactly right. Yeah. And it's obviously not there yet. You know, we're kind of looking for this team to create an identity for themselves, and they need to do it this Saturday. It's going to be an absolutely long season if they walk out of there with a loss, and it's not going to be good. And by the same token, if they do walk out of there with a win, and it's a win that's the kind of win that is a propelling win a win that you stand up and say, wow, you know, those guys stepped it up and they really played some football. There's a lot to play for this season for this football team. I don't want to jump ahead of ourselves, but, you know, you win against Michigan State and you do it in a way where you execute. That's going to lead you into the next week. You go to Pittsburgh, you got Purdue. I mean, you can then look through the next five games with USC being, you know, a very difficult foe. Not that any of the other guys on that schedule aren't, but you get past USC and then you're on the downslope until you get to Boston College and then ultimately Stanford. So there's a heck of a lot still left to play for.
Of course there is, but to me, what you're really playing for is, I mean, you know, at least in the immediate for Saturday and for even a couple weeks after that, is just validation of this thinking that you are a good football team. Because I don't care how close a game is if you lose it on Saturday, and I don't care what you're, but if you're 3-3, you're 3-3. I don't care how you got there, you're 3-3 and you're not a very good football team. And so you have got to go out and win a football game and then go out and prepare and get better the next week. And it doesn't matter who the opponent is. It doesn't matter where they're ranked or if they're not ranked or if they've got a new coach or an old coach or if they've got a whole bunch of freshmen and sophomores playing or if they've got a seasoned team or if they got a really good quarterback or a lousy quarterback. You've just got to go out and win. And it's a bottom line business. And when the disappointing part of the 2 weeks is it leaves basically this team and this season hanging in the balance much sooner than we thought it would, right? You know, we thought we'd have the kind of record going into November where, you know, maybe we'd be in a position where we had to beat Stanford to get to a BCS game, or maybe we were in a position where we had to kind of sweep through November to get to a BCS game, or, you know, who knows what the, but those were the kind of, you know, that was the kind of thinking that we as fans were kind of processing. But now it's just a very, very different, and maybe we'll come out and play like we're a caged animal, just absolutely with, you know, burned up about the way things the first 2 weeks have gone and kind of push Michigan State around like that, which is very difficult to do because they're always a physical football team and they're always pretty tough-minded, and they always battle, especially at Notre Dame Stadium. I mean, I think they've won like 10 out of the last 14 games with Notre Dame now. I mean, it's just a, you know, it's a quality opponent. It's a top 20 opponent, and once again, it's a real test for the program, for the head coach, for the players, everybody from top to bottom.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll go really quick on a prediction. I do think Notre Dame's going to win. I got that gut instinct. I had it the last few weekends. I was wrong, but I'm going to just go with the odds here. But I really do think, I think they're going to pull it out. I think this is going to be a Notre Dame win. I think it's going to be something in the order of 27-17. I do think they're going to play some good football, and I think this will be the turning point in the season for them.
I hope you're right, Mike. I'll echo that. I just, you know, to tell you the truth, I'm just exhausted from all this.
Yeah, I think any win, yeah. I don't need it to be 27-17. I'll take 21-20 if it has to be, but it needs to be a win, and that's the situation we're in.
Yeah, so, I'll go along with you. I'll kind of, and I'm going to go along with you just based on kind of the attitude that seems to be oozing out. You know, sometimes programs turn the corner, not necessarily with a win, but the way that they deal with a loss. In other words, kind of the how hard they take it, how quickly they resolve to make things better, how good the practices are the week following, and of course then ultimately how they follow up and come back on the field the following Saturday. So I'll bet on the fight definitely being back in the Irish, even though the results haven't been what we've wanted the first 2 weeks. And I'll go along with you, and I'll say that they're going to win 30-24.
Yep, good deal. All right, we'll leave it there. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanek, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.